Let's get the latest. Alderman Brian Hopkins is calling in the show. Hey, Alderman, how you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, you know, I've been better, Anna.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's a bad experience all around.
You know, one Marianne Ahern, who I respect a lot, she's been around a long time, political reporter, she said this seemed like Council Wars 2.0. It just really, you know, it just kind of got down in the dirt pretty quickly, and then not much got done. Is that a fair takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, there's a temptation to compare it to the infamous council wars of the 80s under Mayor Washington, but I don't think it's an accurate comparison. It's a different time, a different era, and what's going on the surface might bear a similarity to that time, just in terms of, you know, people choosing sides and fighting, but that's where the similarities end. You know, back in the 80s, it was purely about power. It was about money, jobs, and contracts, and who was going to control the money, jobs, and contracts. This is not that time, and this is not that city council. And the patronage system is dead, and aldermen can't do what they used to do back then, and they would wind up in jail if they tried it. So we're not fighting over the same things. This is more of a fundamental division. There's ideological differences, there's political differences, there's factionalism, and there's a lot at stake. So passions are high, tempers are high, and the entire system is just sort of breaking down in front of us right now, and it does not bode well for the city of Chicago. If we can't govern ourselves, you know, it's a threat to the stability of Chicago, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's a perfect way to say it. The mayor released a statement. I haven't heard many aldermen respond yet. Maybe you can. Our residents expect the city council to pass critical legislation that impacts their daily lives, to your point. However, a small group of aldermen brazenly created a spectacle, did a disservice to their constituents instead of raising their concerns through the appropriate forum. In the end, she says that all these important, meaningful legislation efforts have been, I guess they've been put off. On Friday, we look forward to continuing our work on behalf of Chicagoans.
You know, I mean, she is the leader, and she has to take responsibility for what happened today. Part of the problem is, I think, her continual instinct to deflect any blame away from her, to deflect any responsibility to others. And certainly there's enough blame to go around. You know, I'm not saying that we as a council were blameless today, but she's the one in the chair. And the rules broke down. The system broke down. People got very angry. They remain angry. And she's got to take responsibility for that rather than casting the finger at other people. And it all started with an attempt to derail the confirmation of her hand-chosen corporation council. But had that effort succeeded, all it would have done was kick the can down the road for 1 month. And the individual has been in an acting capacity for quite some time now. So it just simply would have added a month to the time before we could get around to confirmation. And it really wouldn't have changed all that much. So, you know, Mayor, please choose your battles. That was not worthy of what happened. It didn't really make sense to me. I'm still trying to sort it out.
Yeah.
But we just completely ignored parliamentary procedure. We ignored our internal rules. It was just one of the most chaotic, heavy-handed tactics I've seen employed. And the rules are designed to allow for disagreement, even vehement disagreement, while still keeping progress. We have important decisions to make, and we have to make them even when we're not in agreement. That's what the rules are for. And when you throw them out the window and disregard them, you can't get anything done. And it's really going to hurt the productivity of our government when we have so many important decisions and so many issues that we have to deal with. You know, this is not a joke. I mean, this is serious. You know, we've got millions of dollars in federal relief money coming in. We have to figure out how we're going to most effectively spend that. We have crime increasing. We have a murder epidemic on our streets. We have serious work to do, and we have to be able to get it done. And if the rules are thrown out the window and acrimony and bitterness is allowed to carry the day, you know, we'll never accomplish anything, and these problems are just going to get worse.
Stand by for a second, Alderman Hopkins. I want to check traffic, but I do want to see if you can address the issue of crime and some of the other things you just mentioned that are on the table looking for solutions. All right, we're talking with Alderman Brian Hopkins about a fiery city council meeting. Not much got done, as you just described, Alderman Hopkins, the issues facing council, the issues facing the city right now. It seems perhaps the least important one on the agenda was renaming Lakeshore Drive, and yet there are so many headlines around that. Before we get to some of that other stuff, can you just give us an update there? What happened with the renaming of Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah, the vote was postponed on that as we abruptly adjourned since the meeting was collapsing into chaos. We had really had no choice to adjourn, and I voted to adjourn because I felt that a timeout was definitely in order for tempers to subside. And that was one of the things we didn't get to. So I truly do not know what the roll call would have been had we had that vote on renaming Lakeshore Drive. I think it would have been close. I think we all agree. It would have been a very close margin. It would have either passed or failed by the thinnest of margins. So I don't really know what the outcome would have been. There's a couple of other very good suggestions that are out there. The one that I'm promoting right now is renaming Millennium Park. It would be called Jean-Baptiste DuSable Park in his honor, and we could put a statue or some other type of commemorative work of art in that park. To really educate Chicagoans on the role that he played in the establishment of our city, and to, you know, give school children something to see on field trips, tourists something to take selfies in front of. I actually think that's a much better idea to bring attention to DuSable's role in our history than renaming Lakeshore Drive. It would certainly be more visible for most people. You know, Millennium Park is the showpiece park of Chicago. And I don't think anyone would really shed a tear to see that name go away. You know, the millennium is so last decade, right? I mean, it's not a name that we need to cling to. I think actually it's a name that probably will ultimately be changed, if not now, at some point in the future. So why not change that name to honor DuSable, the first non-native settler in this area? Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do, and that would get us out from under the problem of having people required to change their address in those buildings that they live in that are not on the inner drive. So you might have heard nobody would have to change their address. That's not true. Hmm. We have a number of buildings that are not on the inner drive. They're only on the outer drive, so they would be impacted by it.
Right.
And that's really the nexus of the opposition to the renaming. So we'll see what happens as we promote that alternative a little bit more aggressively. I think some of my colleagues see it as an attractive idea.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens there. I want to let you go. I know it's a busy afternoon. I do want to see if you can address just for a moment or two the crime. You mentioned the spike in crime, some pretty high-profile stuff in your ward, the shooting, that carjacking on Chestnut. A man was killed, 35-year-old man. There's been a number of things going on in your ward. What can you say about it?
Yeah, you know, the level of violence, the randomness associated with it is very unsettling to people. Nobody feels safe right now. You know, there's no such thing as a safe neighborhood anymore. You know, this is happening all over the city. You know, there's neighborhoods that have been suffering for years and years with the kind of gang-related and narcotics-related violence that's been happening. But now it's spilling over to every place in Chicago. And people are justifiably outraged. They're frightened. They want to see a response from law enforcement. But, of course, the police are demoralized. They're overworked. We're down significantly in terms of our patrol resources. We've lost a lot of experience, both in terms of the senior command, ranking officers, sergeants, lieutenants, commanders, retiring, leaving, and not being replaced with the commensurate level of experience. So it's really frightening to watch as criminals, I think, in some ways seem to know this. I think they know that their chances of being arrested and prosecuted for whatever crime have never been lower. So, you know, it's sort of this unfettered criminal activity that we're seeing, and it's happening in a blatant manner where criminals just no longer have a fear of the police. And they no longer have a fear of being prosecuted in the justice system. And people know that. And they're outraged about that. And they want to see that change as well.
Lots to get to on Friday. Alderman Hopkins, I appreciate it's a challenging day for sure. I can hear it in your voice. And just thank you for spending the time with us here at GN just to keep us posted.
Thanks, Anna.